There is no greater message that the body of Christ needs to hear than that message about the power of unity. In the last few weeks, everything you will hear on the news brings division. Supreme Court decisions bring division. Some agree, some disagree. Raising and the lowering of a flag, some agree, some disagree. The issue of immigration, the Trumpster is sounding off. Polarizing people, you're on one side or the other. Everything in the news in recent weeks has served to bring division if we let it. But what we need to celebrate as we find our place at the Lord's table this morning is the thing we all agree on and have in common, and that is the blood of Christ and the lordship of Jesus over black and white, Republican and Democrat. We can celebrate what we agree on. The issues of absolute truth in the world. I want to talk about the power of unity today. In Psalm 133, David the psalmist said this: "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Everybody say unity.
Unity.
It is like the precious oil. Now listen at the metaphors. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron, a high priest, running down on the edge of his garments. And then a different metaphor. It is like dew on the mountain. Mount Hermon, dew descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to dwell together in unity. It's in the place of unity where the Lord says, blessing, I command you to fall on those people. If you want the benefit of the commanded blessing of the Lord on your house, get the house in unity. If you want the benefit of the commanded blessing of the Lord on your marriage, husbands and wives, get together in unity. If we want the Lord to say over our church, blessing, I command you to fall on Abundant Life Church, then let's celebrate the power of unity. That's where the Lord commands a blessing. And especially in South Carolina, by the way, I'm so proud of our state. Unlike Ferguson, Missouri, that faced a similar test, and unlike Baltimore, that faced a similar test, people all over the world are seeing something special in South Carolina. I think the pastor right there articulated it so well. I mean, this is an opportunity for the church, whether you're black, white, Republican, Democrat, whether you like the Donald or not. And isn't he everywhere these days? I mean, all over the news, it's Donald, Donald, Donald. That'll pass. But people can see the power of God and the unity of the Spirit and the love of Christ in what we're doing. I'm telling you, I need to grow a little more so that I can be like the sister who lost a family member in the church shootings and looked at the killer in his face and said, I forgive you. I need to grow a little bit when I see that kind of love in action. The power of unity always finds the commanded blessing of the Lord. 2 or 3 years ago, I flew down to Nicaragua to spend a few days with Brian and Millie, our homegrown missionaries. And by the way, I've done that many times, as many of you have. I told Brian on this particular trip, now, Brian, I'm just coming to be with you and Millie for 3 or 4 days. I just want to bless you. I want to strengthen you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be with you. Please don't book me to do much. I just want to be with you. I'm there to fellowship with you. Well, so I flew in. It was about 9 o'clock that night. It was dark, and Brian and Millie picked me up and drove me to the hotel. And on the way, they said, I booked you to speak at a pastor's conference in the morning at 9 o'clock. And I said, really, Brian? Really? Yeah. And it's about 50 pastors, and they get together for a monthly meeting, and it starts at 9 o'clock. And I said, well, all right. And he said, but now it's a 3-hour drive. We're going to have to leave at 6. So I slept quickly that night, got up early, and Brian and Millie picked me up, got in the car, and we began a 3-hour drive. And about 2 hours into the drive from Managua, the capital city, 2 hours out, the road started getting worse. And the last 15 minutes, I didn't know if we'd get through the craters in the road or not. Finally, we drove as far as a car could go, and then we parked by the side of the road, and we walked the last 15 minutes. Finally arrived at a crude building that was a church in a village somewhere. It did have a mayor. The mayor was in the service. The meeting had already started, and so Brian and Millie and I slip in, sit in the back, and Brian is whispering to me the translation of what the guy was saying. And Brian said, this is the head pastor of the district, and he's the one who's in charge of the ministry association here, and he's the one who leads the monthly pastors' meeting. So about 50 pastors there, and the mayor. And I noticed things took a turn, and Brian said, uh-oh. I said, well, what? He said, this gentleman that just got up, he's challenging the ministry association leader up there. They're about to fight, I think. I said, really? Tell me what they're saying. And so this continued to unfold quickly, and a gentleman on the front row who was also a pastor stood up and took issue with him, said, we don't want to follow you anymore. Instead of having one group, we want two groups, and I want to lead the new group. And I thought, wow, Brian's telling me this, and I'm here to preach on unity to the pastors. I mean, I had a word on unity for the pastors. Bottom line is, before my very eyes, that one group of 50 pastors split and became two groups, and literally inside that building, it ended like this. With the man who was originally in charge, about 25 people got to one side of the auditorium with him, and the rest of the people, about an equal amount, followed the other man to the other side of the auditorium. And what began with one group of pastors ended, split into two groups of pastors. I never spoke. That's how much division can bring damage anywhere it raises its head. And then, of course, with the issue of the flag being removed, there are people in the body of Christ on both sides of that issue. Really, I'm telling you right now, and I know some people are very passionate about the flag being raised, and others very passionate about the flag coming down. I'm telling you right now, unity must prevail, because regardless of which side of the flag issue you're on, you're going to spend forever in heaven with people on the other side of that issue. So we celebrate what we are united about. The dictionary defines unity as the state of being in full agreement. I look at this table, and I dare say, I'll call you out if there's an exception. I dare say anybody can challenge what we believe as we find our place at this table. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. There is so much. In fact, the only eternal issues that really matter forever, we are in full agreement. There is unity in this house around this table. And so we qualify for God to command His blessing on us as His people today. The power of unity. Now, it can work both ways. People can be evil and get in full agreement around something evil and accomplish whatever they attempt because of unity. Oh, it might be evil, but if they're in unity, they're going to get it done. That's the power of unity. Or people can gather around a righteous issue, a godly issue, and when they are in full agreement, in unity, nothing can stop them from accomplishing what they set their mind to. It works for evil as well as for good. It's the power of unity. I'll give you a scripture on that. You know it well. We learned it in Sunday school, the Tower of Babel. Men were evil in that day. They had forgotten God. They were more interested in making a name for themselves and accomplishing things with their own hands. They began to build a tower. They had a vision to build a tower tall enough to reach heaven. And in Genesis 11, verses 5 and 6, the Lord interrupted that. It said, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language.'" Now, let's understand what that means. The people are united and they all are saying the same thing. Everybody's confessing the same thing. They all have one language. The original Hebrew says they speak with one lip. So here we are. We have people who are united. They are one. And they're all speaking the same thing. And God says, this is what they begin to do. "Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." Now, here's a group of men wanting to do something that's not even godly at all. But because they are one, because they're in unity, and they're all saying the same thing, that's how much unity they have. God said, nothing that they propose to do will be with it. They'll be able to accomplish this if I don't get involved, God said. The New Living Translation in verse 6, God said, "The people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." That's the power of unity. It works for the negative as well as the positive. Now, Jesus said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Now, that's the power of division. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I imagine that's the truth. Jesus said it. So it takes unity for a house to survive, and not just survive, but to flourish and to enjoy the full blessing that the Lord will command. It's the power of unity. Now, I thought it was interesting, and you know, I think our state right now, South Carolina, is at the forefront of the nation and the world. And people are seeing what this pastor in Columbia shared a few minutes ago. They're seeing the love of Christ. I mean, it's on display. But anytime a light shines, whatever darkness is around is exposed. And so this is an opportunity for South Carolina, our nation, and for the world to grow in some areas so that the body of Christ can enjoy the power of unity and the blessing that the Lord wants to command on us as His people. And racism is something that is being exposed in a fresh way. And I'm sitting here, as all of you did, and we're watching this African-American pastor in Columbia share a powerful testimony about he pastoring a black church. And after the shootings in Charleston, when they were hurting so much, a white congregation invaded their service to show love to them. And I thought, it really doesn't get any better than that. But look around this room right now. We don't need to be invaded. We already are. Isn't it wonderful? We already are. Every service, we have blacks and whites and Filipinos and Mexicans and Indians, Jews even, Catholics. I mean, every description, every color. It's just the way we are and have been. I remember when our church first started, we were just a few weeks old, and a man visited our church, and I knew this man from boyhood. I knew him. And he visited the church. He came once and never came back again. So after 2 or 3 weeks, I called him, since I knew him. I said, "Well, you know, we were glad to have you in our service a few weeks ago. I just wanted to call and let you know that and invite you back." And he said, "Well, I won't be coming back." And I said, "Well, really? I mean, usually they don't tell me like that." Usually they lie and say, "Oh, I plan to be back. You'll see me Sunday." And they lie. This guy at least told me the truth. "Oh, I won't be coming back." I said, "Really? Why?" And he was a white man. He said, "Because there were some black people there, and I just don't like to worship with black people." And this was 28, 29 years ago. And I said, "Well, brother, you're at the wrong church then with us, because everybody's welcome at our church. And, you know, I am a black man." You know, there is this condition that you can be black and your skin be white. There is a condition. Miss Florine and I have talked about that. Michael Jackson, you know. But isn't it great that God is colorblind? And how powerful it was for blacks and whites to get together and show the world that the power of unity brings commanded blessing. And then look how relevant God's word is, how up to date God's word is. In Matthew 12:25, the New Living Translation says this: "Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, 'Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed.'" Is that not relevant today? With the flag issue. Jesus said, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart." And Jesus said it. I imagine it's true. and how pertinent that truth is this week in this state and in the world. When Brenda and I were first married, and this is part of our personal testimony, we don't share it. I don't know that we've ever mentioned it. It means a lot to us, but it will fit right now. But we've been married almost 39 years. Right after Deborah and Marion got married, Brenda got married. 39 years for us. And within the first year of marriage, and of course now we, you know, she's had reason to be upset with me a few times. I've never really had a reason to be upset with her. She was born saved. I don't think she ever had to get saved. She was born that way. But that's a joke, of course, but it is a joke. But she was more saved than I was.
That's true.
She will tell the truth on that. But so we never have fought a lot. We never have fought too much in our marriage. But in the first year, God gave us a verse of Scripture. I can take you to the place where we were when He spoke this verse to us as a husband and wife. It has served us well for 39 years. It will serve you well in marriage, in business, in church life, in your family, in your professional life. It's in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Remember the day we got that? Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Now, it's important who you partner with in marriage, in business. And even church affiliation. Hey, listen, we're talking about the power of unity today. Can any two of us walk together without agreeing on the direction, without agreeing on the way? Jesus said, look at the table, I am the way. We can agree on it. He said, I am the truth. We can agree on that. Jesus said, I am the life. We can agree on that. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? There are three purposes to our church. And really, these three purposes should apply to any Christian church. Number one, to worship God. That's why we exist. Hey, you should agree with that. We exist as a local church to give God our worship. First and foremost, that's why we are. Is to worship God. Secondly, our purpose as a local church is to strengthen and equip the saints. Hopefully, all of us, me included, will be better equipped, stronger as a child of God when we leave this place today than we were when we got there, because we are equipped by the Word to be capable ministers for the Lord Jesus. So we exist to worship God. Secondly, we exist to equip and strengthen the saints. And thirdly, as a local church, we exist to share the good news. Now, that's something all of us shoulder as a responsibility. I'm not the only one. In fact, you just as much as me, you should be sharing the good news with your neighbors, those you work with, those you come in contact with. So we worship God, we equip the saints, and we share the good news. That's why we exist. Now, there's so many things that we don't have to agree on. We're going to go to heaven together. Anyway, telling you, there's not going to be two heavens. A white heaven and a black heaven. A Republican heaven and a Democratic heaven. A Catholic heaven and a Protestant heaven. No, not going to be two heavens. And we have enough that we can celebrate that we all agree on together for us to be happy with one another forever and ever and ever. We all can say this. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Say it with me. We believe. Say it again. We believe. Look at this table with the Lord's body and His blood as a provision for each of us. And let's say it again. We believe. And there is power in that kind of unity. Ushers, if you will come, please. Everybody, bow your head. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that's so perfect in its timing to speak to your people today. Thank you for a new thing you're doing. Lord, it doesn't take a prophet or a seer to recognize what we can all clearly see. You're doing something fresh. You're doing something new. You're dealing with real issues and challenges in people's lives in large quantities. You are speaking reconciliation. You're speaking unity. We hear the song, the anthem. We hear it even from heaven as it reaches the earth. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Thank you for that revelation. And thank you that you've included each of us. And we find ourselves now at the Lord's table. We will hold in our hand in just a moment the bread and the cup. Thank you for a fresh revelation for each of us about the significance of this moment, this worship experience. Holy Spirit, we cannot do this without you. We invite you to be with us and to be strong in each of us and speak clearly to us, minister to us, forgive us where it's necessary. Heal us from our sickness and diseases. Everything we need, we will hold in our hands, and then we will partake and it will be inside us. Thank you for this moment. We bless the sacraments, the bread and the cup, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. The ushers are going to